anointing. Did you come up? Yeah, I want to pray over you. But because I didn't think you were up here. I thought you were out of the room for a minute. But God's got a great plan for you, girl. Amen. My oldest daughter. Amen. And just want to, we were just having an anointing service. And so we're just receiving God's anointing on our lives. And I just feel like I'm just releasing this on you, I just release a increase of anointing, a fresh anointing on Lacey's life. But as I was, you know, watching you back there, sometimes I get pictures and things for people. It's a little harder to talk when it's my own daughter. But I just feel like the Lord wants you to know that He's surrounding you with peace, and that there are voices often that clamor in your ears, and He is silencing them, and you're walking into a new place with God that you've never known before. And He just wants you to know how special you are to Him, how much He loves you. Certainly we love you, but He wants you to know how much He loves you. And I just, as you're beginning your 17th year this year, God just wants you to know that He is beautifying you in your spirit. My daughters are already beautiful, but He's talking about beautifying you spiritually, much like Esther. How she was beautified over months, and then she was brought into the king. And presented to the king. And I just feel like the Lord is telling you this, that He is beautifying you spiritually, that you are very special to Jesus, and He's bringing you closer to Him and presenting you before the king this year. And that God has a very special place for you in your life. And just, you know, enjoy the journey. But He just wants you to know that you are so special to Him. And He's going to give you an ear that you will instantly recognize His voice and hear Him clearer than you ever have. Amen. Amen. I love you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'll take some of that too. Amen. But God is so good. I also, as I wipe the tears out here, I really don't care. The Lord told me a long time ago, don't worry about crying in front of people. Doesn't mean you're not a tough guy, right? We have a big God. And sometimes we just need to be sensitive to what He's doing all the time. Amen. But when He has a word for you, just receive it. Amen. Feeling kind of loopy in the Holy Ghost right now. I want somebody to stand in for President Trump. And just like he's standing right here. Because the man is under attack 24/7. And even from the church, you know, the so-called church. And so I'd like a man to come stand in on behalf of President Trump. Amen. And I want to anoint you and all of us gather around. Just like this is President Trump right here. Because when Shelley was speaking and talking, I saw him standing right here in the spirit. And it's like the Lord said, what if he was in the room right now? We need to lay hands on the man and just cover him with our prayers and with the blessing of God in his life. He's anointed for the job of president, but he is bombarded, as you know, with criticism and hatred by so-called people that don't hate, right? And even in the church, right? There's so-called professional athletes that are Christians that refuse to go see him. Bizarre, right? But Lord, we cover Mr. Trump right now in the name of Jesus, him and his family. We speak your peace and your blessing and your favor upon him. We surround him with a hedge of protection, and we thank you for him, Lord, as President of the United States. You're giving him supernatural wisdom, Lord God. God, I thank you, Father, for turning around the attacks of the devil on him. And Lord, just silencing the voice of the devil, Lord God, in Jesus' name. Lord, we speak your peace over him and his family. We speak your blessing on his family, your protection on his family, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that he is saved and born again, has a heart for God. And even though, Lord, he comes across gruff at times, Lord, and politically incorrect, which is refreshing oftentimes, Lord, Amen. We thank you, God, for just giving him, Lord, that resolve, Lord God, to continue to do what you've called him to do. And surrounding him, Lord, with the right people, Lord, that you would add and subtract, Lord, from people that are around him, talking to him, Lord, and so forth. And just give him, Lord, a fresh assurance of his salvation, a fresh assurance that he is called of God, a fresh assurance of that anointing that's on his life, Lord. And help him to feel the strength of the prayers of the people, Lord, and to know that he's loved and appreciated, Lord. And we give you the praise for all of this in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. 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 Thank you, Randy. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Cadillac outside.
That's right.
Before you start that, don't let it go to your head.
That's right. Exactly. Oh, amen. Praise the Lord. Anything else? All right. Let's go ahead and dismiss the kids to your classes. We love you, kids. If any kids need a hug or a high five, I like those. So awesome. Happy New Year's. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Y'all look so handsome and lovely today. Luke, thanks for praying with me, buddy. Way to go, man. You guys were at the beach this week, huh? Was it fun? Is it still there?
Yes.
Oh, good, because that's one of my favorite places to be. Amen. And so is church, by the way. Hallelujah. Church is one of my favorite places to be. Praise God. Well, let's pray over this word today. Father, in Jesus' name, hallelujah. We thank you for your word to us today. We thank you that we are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. God, we ask you to give us eyes to see and ears to hear and hearts to respond and be sensitive to what your spirit is saying to us today. And we'll give you all the praise and the glory for this in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Amen and amen. Well, next Sunday, we're going to do, it seems like it's been an annual thing, but Vision Day next Sunday. Amen. We're going to talk about the things that God is, how many think it's important to walk in the direction that God points you in, right? And so we're going to talk about some of those things for this year, the things that God is stirring up in us and doing in us and leading us to do. And I'm so interested in hearing what Brother Copeland shares tonight, that the New Year's Eve service last week got iced out, so he's speaking tonight, and I wanted to hold off on what where I go until I hear where he goes, because, you know, the prophet and pastor thing is biblical, right, and he's that's a prophetic ministry that I greatly admire and feel very connected to. And so it's important for me to hear what's in his spirit and just compare it to, like Shelley said, find the match. So, amen. So we don't want to get ahead of God, right? And I'm not calling Brother Copeland God, but he's a prophet of God. And so it's important to not, just because you know God's leading in a certain way, wait and make sure that you have direction and guidance and so forth. But I felt so strongly about where we were at last week. And this is interesting to do kind of a two-part message, one last year and one this year, right? But you don't get mixed up in that stuff. You just, yes, sir, right? Like Pastor Terry said this morning in my Faith Foundations class, there is no time with God, right? Time stands still in heaven. So everybody in heaven right now isn't looking at the clock. It's it's now, right? And so I felt stirred that we were going to continue on with this teaching about the anointing of God today. And a lot of this came on me, I believe, you know, toward the end of the month last year, last month, same thing, I guess. in terms of people making New Year's resolutions and, you know, trying to make these changes in their life, and oftentimes they don't last, right? And you'll see a lot of people, for example, in the gym for the first couple weeks of the year. And even myself this past week, I said, sugar is over. Well, this morning I've already had a donut. And, you know, it's like, amen. So with God loves us and he helps us to change and become more like Jesus, right? And there's things that he'll help us do. But the anointing, somebody say the anointing, right? The anointing is what helps us to make changes that last. Because it's the power of God on the inside of you. Amen. And sometimes when I try to in myself make a change and it didn't last, I'll realize, okay, well, either this is something that I just got to obviously discipline my flesh about, or maybe this is something that the Lord isn't all that concerned about. And so why should I be? Amen? And there's a lot of that stuff that goes on. All these voices clamoring, saying you need to do these things and change these things and cut it off cold turkey. Maybe God isn't saying that. Amen. It's important to evaluate these things and to say, you know what? Why am I being so hard on myself about this? Amen. Just love God, study his word, make some alterations and so forth, but don't get so fixed on that thing that seems so big in my mind. Maybe it's not of him. If there's an anointing to do it, it's going to happen, and he'll lead me into it and keep on me about it. Amen. But our foundation text today, by the title of this sermon is The Power to Change, Part 2. And by the way, the anointing is what is the power to change and make lasting change. Hallelujah. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17 is our foundation scripture for this. It's good to have the Word of God as the foundation for everything we preach. And I felt like in my Bible reading this week, like Shelley was talking about things in the Word of God that we see, and the Word of God calls itself a mirror, right? And so you see yourself in the Word, and certain things will jump out at you. Oh, there's a match, right? And I was reading something, I don't remember the exact scripture, but it talked about teaching the Word, and the Lord spoke of my heart and said, you are a teacher, right? And I said, cool. Sometimes I listen to myself on our website, and I don't come across too loud. I'm not really hollering much. And preachers, you know, a lot of times will preach loud. And that's awesome. I enjoy that. It's kind of like music, you know. Sometimes you like some rock music. Sometimes there's some jazz music. And, you know, I'm more, and he just said, you know why you don't yell much? Because you're a teacher. Praise the Lord. So I said, okay. I saw myself in that word, and I'm comfortable with that. Right? And we don't have to try to be other people and act like this preacher or that person or this, you know, just be who God's called you to be. So the Word of God is like a mirror in that sense. We look into it and we see matches. Let's say, you know what, I'm just going to go ahead and just claim that for my life. Hallelujah. But Romans 1, verses 16 and 17 says this, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. And Christ, as we talked about last week, means the anointed one, right? He is anointed. Christ is not Jesus' last name, right? It's who he is. He's the anointed one, right? For it is the power of God. What is the power of God? The gospel, right? The anointing. The power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Does that exclude anybody? Yep, it does. It excludes people who don't believe. Amen. Not everybody's going to be in heaven. That's just the truth, right? Now, we'll pray that way. I pray that way every night. Lord, help everybody today to receive Jesus. Is there ever a prayer that's too big to ask, right? But if you don't believe in Jesus, if you're not born again, heaven is not your home. That's just the reality of it. Amen. So this anointing, this gospel, is the power of God to salvation for a specific group of people. For everyone who believes. Who believes what? Who believes Jesus is Lord. Who believes Jesus died for me. Who believes the Bible is the truth. Amen? and as their faith in God, right? For the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And I'll tell you what, if there's ever a don't quit statement in the Bible, that's it right there. Because if it was about my goodness and how awesome I'm doing, and, you know, I would have quit a long time ago. It's because of who he is. My faith is in Jesus, not in me. If it was about me having faith in me, boy, I'd have hung it up years ago, right? It's about my faith in Jesus. That's how you live. That's what keeps you going. That's what keeps you on track. That's what keeps you growing, because your faith is in him and what he has done. Amen. And who he is and who we are in him. Amen. So the anointing is the power of God. And that is what gives you and me the power to change and become more like him. Amen. And I was on, this message actually came to me on the treadmill. Anybody get closer to God on the treadmill? You feel like you're starting to have visions? That could be a good thing, right? Amen. No, really, I was on the treadmill, and my kids kind of pulled some of their Christmas money together, and they bought this, like, professional punching bag set. I mean, it's heavy duty. Like, the Rocky would use this. Well, he would probably actually hang a cow and punch the kid. But no, this the real stuff. And I'm kind of on the treadmill, and I'm looking at the side of the punching bag, and the words say, "Everlast, greatness is within, power core." And I thought, man, if that isn't the anointing right there, that's a description of the anointing of God right there. Everlasting power within. The power core is that, but there's training involved, isn't there, right? But the power of God, if you're saved, if you're born again, then you have the power of God on the inside of you, and there's nothing you and I can't do. Lord told me this a long time ago. He said, there's nothing we can't do together. Amen? Everlasting greatness is within. The power core, that's the anointing on the inside of you and on the inside of me. That's what gives us the power to change. Amen? I want to look at a few things here in regards to the anointing. First thing is going to be the anointing received. Then it will be the anointing recognized. It's important to recognize the anointing, and you can, right? The anointing's results, the anointing refreshed, and the anointing released. Amen? And that's, it was interesting to me that the Lord had us pray that prayer of anointing before the preaching today. But I think it comes back to, you know what? We don't have to understand everything about the anointing. We just come and receive it, right? Like, I don't have to understand how my car works. I just go in there, open the door, turn the key, and it comes on, and I drive it. Amen. But there are things that we should learn and know about it, right? First of all, the anointing is received. Now, I'm going to use Paul as our example here. Paul is a tremendous example of somebody who was changed by the anointing. Changed by the anointing. Acts 7, verses 51 through 60 says this. Now, this is the end of Stephen's life on planet Earth, right? Before he was, I guess we could say, promoted to higher places with God. He was about to be martyred, right? And Stephen is just done under the anointing. He is preaching to these people about what they've done to Jesus. And we'll just pick it up right here. Stephen is talking. He says, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised and hard in ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit as your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who foretold the coming of the Just One, of whom you now have become the betrayers and murderers." Verse 53, "who have received the law by the direction of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed at him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran at him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the feet of a young man named Saul. And they stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Then he knelt down and cried out with a loud voice, Lord, do not charge them with this sin. And then when he had said this, he fell asleep. Right? So here we see Saul approving really the murder of an innocent man. The approval of Stephen's death right here. So this is not, you know, a godly man. Now, zealous, obviously, right? But towards the wrong things. Amen? So we see Saul here, the approval of Stephen's death. Look at chapter 8, verses 1 through 3. I guess we're just going to continue right on here. Now, Saul was consenting to his death. At that time, a great persecution arose against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made a great lamentation over him. As for Saul, verse 3, he made havoc of the church, entering every house and dragging off men and women, committing them to prison. Right? And that word havoc in dictionary.com says great destruction or devastation. Saul is not on the church's side in any way, right? Amen. So he's making havoc for the church, approving of people's death, arresting people, throwing them into prison, wrecking their homes, shutting down their churches, right? And he thinks in his mind he's probably doing this all for God, right? Amen. Now look at chapter 9, verses 1 through 6. Then Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples, threats and murder, okay, against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked letters from him to the synagogues of Damascus, so that if he found any who were of the way, whether men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. As he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly a light shone around him from heaven, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? Talk about, you want to know the shortest salvation prayer recorded in the Bible. There it is. Who are you, Lord? Now, a lot of Christians would want this man lasers, right? This guy, just take care of it. But no. That's not the heart of our God. Amen? So he said, who are you, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It's hard for you to kick against the goads. So he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what do you want me to do? Then the Lord said to him, arise and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. What did he have right there? He had an experience. He had an encounter with the Anointed One. An encounter with the anointing right there that is absolutely going to transform his life. Amen. Now look at chapter 9, verses 20 through 22. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues. Well, let's just start right there. Immediately he preached the Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. And all who heard were obviously amazed, right? And said, is this not he who destroyed those who called on the name in Jerusalem and has come here for that purpose so that he might bring them bound to the chief priests? But Saul increased all the more in strength, right? In anointing, right? And confounded the Jews who dwelt in Damascus, proving that this Jesus is the Christ. Glory to God. And don't you know that same anointing today is available to anyone who will call on him? And talk about lasting change. This man became Paul, obviously, and wrote much of the New Testament. Wonderful things that the anointing of God can do, has done, and still does. Amen. There's no other way that would have happened. The power, Paul encountered the power of the anointing, and he received it. He received that anointing. Amen. And so can you and I, for whatever we need it for in our lives. Amen. That's what we did today. All of you came in and received that. So praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now let's look at the anointing recognized. It's important to recognize the anointing. Amen. And know what's anointed and what's not anointed. And we can do that. We need to be smart sheep, right? Not just dumb sheep that follow anyone's voice and do what anybody says. Well, I'm just a sheep. No, you know the voice of your shepherd, capital S. Amen. Just because somebody says, you know, talks about Jesus doesn't mean they know him. Amen. Luke 4:16-21 says this. So he came to Nazareth, talking about Jesus, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. So that brings to my mind, there was a guy that I had met in town once, and we just started talking, and he started talking about why he doesn't go to church. He was like, well, Jesus didn't go to church. Jesus never went to church. He was always outside in the elements and up in the mountains. And you know, I didn't have a quick answer for that, but we just need to go to the Word. Find out what the Word says about Jesus, right? What does it say right here? He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath as his custom was. Jesus was in church all the time, right? Amen. And of course, he did his outdoor meetings and so forth. Probably there weren't buildings that could hold all the people. And probably in some of those buildings, he wasn't welcome to come and hold those meetings, right? But Jesus went to church. Jesus loves the church. Jesus created the church. Amen. That's why we have church. That's why it doesn't matter how much it costs to have church. He doesn't care. It could be $1 million a week, $5,000 a week. If it's church and if it's something that he invented and he birthed it, don't talk to him about how much it's costing. You know, there's no pastor today that's going to go to heaven and the Lord's going to sit him down and say, hey, Pastor so-and-so, welcome to heaven. Let's talk about your church. Oh, Jesus, we have $10 million in the bank. We saved $10 million. Jesus' face is going to go, and why? Well, we saved $10 million. We got $10 million in the bank. Oh yeah, get it out of the bank, brother. Build something. Build a bigger sanctuary. Sow into the world. Send missionaries. No pastor is going to get kudos. Get to heaven because they got $5 million, $10 million, $20 million, $100 million in the bank. Oh, we got this little bitty building, Lord, and everybody has a seat, and there's a bathroom. Right? Yeah, it's old. It's, you know, gravel and all this kind of stuff, which is nothing wrong with that, unless you were called to do something else and something more. Amen? It bothers me when I drive by churches that are selling their property to the city or to businesses, and they're building businesses around the church. And it's like, unless that's what God told you to do, you know? But man, if God gave you property, goodness gracious, wouldn't the church do a lot? Wouldn't the city, the community that you live in, do better with a church the size of Winco than selling your property so they can build a Winco by your church, right? It's just, it's vision is what it is, right? Yeah, but Lord, we made $5 million. For what? Well, for my retirement, for the next pastor. No. Somebody say build. That's the anointing teaching us, right? And Shelley talked about reading your Bible. We need to be reading our Bible, but it's also important to be listening to anointed preaching. The Bible talks about the anointing will teach you. So what do? You find places on your iPhone or at home or on. I have now Roku at my house. And I have the Believer's Voice of Victory Network. I have Keith Moore's, you know, home church on there. And there's a lot of people that they're my brothers and sisters in Christ, but I ain't going to listen to them. You know what? There's only so much time in a day. I need something that's anointed. I'm called of God to build something here. Give me something that's bringing life to me and vision. Amen. Right, all that came out of that verse. Amen. So Jesus hung out in the church, man. Glory to his name. And he's here today. Praise the Lord. And his anointing is here, right? And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah, verse 17. Maybe I am a little bit of a preacher. I got a little bit loud there, didn't I? And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." Somebody say amen, right? Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him, and he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." Wow. The anointed one right there with him. Well, we can recognize the anointing right here. He gives us a summary, right? If something's anointed, it's going to break the power of poverty. Glory to God, right? If something's anointed, it brings healing. Amen? If something's anointed, it brings deliverance. It brings recovery. It brings freedom. And it brings restoration. Amen. Why go somewhere to church that makes you feel depressed and sorrowful, right? I don't need a cancer support group. I need a get me healed of cancer group. Right? Amen. I don't need a church that's talking to me about, you know, debt is okay. I want a church that says, you know what, be debt free. The Lord can pull you out of that debt place in your life, right? I don't want a church that tells me it's okay if you have sin in your life because, boy, there's a Savior. Praise God. That's a good starting point. But I don't want to sign some, you know, contract that says, you know, it's okay for me to have sin in my life and still be a Christian. I want freedom. Give me freedom. Give me liberty, right? That's the anointing. That's the anointing. How do you know it's an anointed place? You're hearing stuff preached that talks about you being free. You're hearing stuff preached that talks about you being blessed. Rich. Why not just say rich? Amen. If you were rich, good stuff would happen. Amen. And it is happening, right? Praise the Lord. Restoration, recovery of vision, recovery of sight, recovery of vision, recovery of hope, restoration of families, restoration of relationships, restoration of the body of Christ, right? Financial miracles and blessings. Amen. Deliverance. Amen. Drug addicts getting set free. Alcoholics getting set free. Amen. Marriages restored. Salvation to people that are lost. This is what the anointing does. And make no mistake about it, it's the anointing doing the work. It's not me doing the work or you doing the work. We believe. I'm getting ahead of myself. But we believe. We say it. We see it in the Word. We claim it. And the anointing is what does the work. Amen. There's no more exciting way to live than living an anointed life. Amen. And that's what we pray today. We ask the Lord to increase that anointing, give us a fresh anointing. Amen. So we talked about recognizing the anointing. So you'll recognize it now. You'll hear something. You'll turn on Christian radio and hear somebody talking about how awful things are. And you'll say, not anointed. You're not judging the person. You're judging the concept, the philosophy. And then you'll hear another song afterwards lifting you up and talking about the greatness of God. Anointed. I'll take me some of that. Amen. You'll hear somebody preaching on the radio or online, and they'll be talking about how terrible things are and how the sky is falling and how this is bad and that's bad. Not anointed. Then you'll hear somebody else preaching faith and victory and the blood of Jesus and anointed. I'm getting set free right now hearing this. See? Recognizing the anointed. Amen? This is where we must live. Hallelujah. Like Shelley said, our life depends on it. Finding matches to the anointing. That's what we're doing. Saying, you know what? Poverty. I'm going to use this. This is my sock, actually, right here. This one might be. No, just kidding. Poverty and I'll use my sock as poverty. Poverty and prosperity. No match. Right? Sickness and Jesus. No match. This one anointed, this one not. Toss it out, right? Right? Jealousy, hatred, racism, love of God. This is anointed, this is not. See, we live there. We live making matches with finding matches for the anointing. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match, right? I'll spare you the singing. But you get it, right? Somebody say, I'm anointed. I recognize what's anointed and what's not. Amen. And you can allow or disallow anything you want to in your life. Amen. It's a glorious way to live. And we don't get attitudes about stuff. We just love everybody. Everybody's family. But I'm not letting everybody come in my house and teach me. Amen. You're my brother. You're my sister. But you just enjoy that thing you're doing, right? And they'll say the same about me, probably. Praise God. We let the love of God prevail. But man, I'll tell you what, with what God's calling us to do and what he's calling us to accomplish, we need that anointing. Amen. Glory to his name. Look at the anointing's results. I'll tell you what, the anointing of God gets results. In Hebrews chapter 11, many call this the hall of faith. Praise the Lord. The anointing's results. Hebrews 11, I'm just going to kind of skim through this, and you can follow along or listen to it later. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good testimony. By what? By faith. But what is faith? Faith is reliance upon Christ, reliance upon the anointing. The anointing is what's doing it, right? We obtain a good testimony by the anointing on our life, right? By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things that are invisible. So by faith we understand. By the anointing of God, I increase in understanding of what's in the word for me. Amen? Look at verse 4. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. That anointing on Abel's life, he brought a better offering, a more excellent offering. Don't you know that the anointing will bring you into more excellent things? And I don't know about you, but I'm ready for more excellent things. You heard Shelley teaching this morning. Try having a bad day around her. I don't get to have a pity party at my house because I hear that preaching right there in the living room. If my lip starts going out, I get an earful. And what's it do? It's anointed. It set me free. Glory to God, right? So that anointing, just like they're in Abel, more excellent. Don't you know there are more excellent things for you in that anointing? Praise the Lord. Look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. Don't you know there's a whole generation of believers that will never even physically die? They're going to be raptured out of here by the anointing. Amen. We don't see death. We're not looking for dead things. Hallelujah. Somebody say, bring me life. Bring me life. I'm not looking for death. I'm looking for things that are alive. Living things grow. Dead things die, dry up. Amen. Verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. What is faith again? Reliance upon Christ, reliance upon that anointing. Somebody say, I'm going to please God. I'm going to be anointed. I'm going to stay in that anointing. With now, I like that. This is the first part of that verse. Without faith, it is impossible. So therefore, with faith, it's possible. Amen. So whatever you're believing God for, whatever you're believing God for, you walk around saying, I'm anointed, so that thing is possible, and it's coming to pass in my life today. All these wonderful prophecies that we're going to look at next week and be hearing and listening to, we'll probably spend maybe 2 weeks on vision. The Lord has stirred up in me to stop saying this is going to happen in 2018, whatever we're believing for, and start saying this is happening today. It's 2018 now. Amen. Brother Copeland's message on it's the year of the Holy Ghost and fire, Holy Spirit and fire. That's for me now. I'm not gonna wait till July or August or September to. I'm believing for that today. He's been on me this week about not worrying and thinking so much about the years to come, and you know you start going there, right? He's like, you know what, son? Where are you? I'm now. I'm today. It's whatever it is. January 7th, 2018. Live there. That's where it all is. Faith is now. Today is the day of salvation, right? So just live there. Expect God to move today. Amen. And just keep your eyes focused on today. Amen. Because nothing is impossible for the anointing. Nothing that God calls you to do, puts in your heart, it's all possible. Amen. Praise the Lord. By faith, Noah, verse 7, being divinely warned for things not yet seen, move of godly fear, prepared an ark. Amen. How did he do it? By the anointing that was on his life. Literally, one guy and his family, but he was the spearhead, right? One guy, one anointed guy, literally delivered the entire human race. So don't ever underestimate what one anointed person can do. One anointed person can make all the difference for everybody else. Amen. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place where he would receive an inheritance. He went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt, verse 9, in the land of promise, in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, with heirs of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That is so key, right? Why are we looking to God? Why are we looking to the anointing? Because we're waiting on him. Because everything that happens, everything he wants to do, is because he is the one who's building it. I don't have to sit around trying to figure everything out. I just simply say, Lord, I believe you. I trust you. I believe that this is from you, and I'm going to see this come to pass. Amen. And we let him do it, right? The city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. And that's the father of our faith, Abraham speaking. Amen. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed. We're talking about a woman who was 100 years old. Even back then, that was old, right? Older up in years. And by the anointing, she conceived in her old age. The anointing will reverse the effects of aging. Glory to God. Amen. It will. Hallelujah. Look down at verse 13. All these died in faith. Now, I've heard Keith Moore say this, and people will say, well, yeah, but they died. They died in faith. And Keith Moore would say, well, yeah, well, what other way is there to die? Die in faith, right? Amen. Trusting God. Hallelujah. Not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers, pilgrims. The point here is they embraced the promises and they confessed them, even back then, right? So what do? We do the same thing. We walk in the anointing. We embrace the Word of God. I've heard people say things like, you know what, we just need to embrace this disease. What? No. We need to embrace the promises of God and confess that this disease has no right in my body. I don't care what symptoms and signs are in my body. I embrace the Word, what the Word has to say about it. The truth of God's Word is eternal. That disease and the fact that that disease is in my body is temporal, but this is eternal, and the eternal truth of God's Word always will trump the facts that are temporal if we stick to it. Amen? And it's good to start now. Start now with little things. Because then when the enemy brings a wallop towards you, you're already training, like the punching bag, right? When the enemy comes down the road to really try to knock my block off, I've been practicing on little devils, right? Headaches and colds and just training my ear to hear and obey God's voice. And then when a big thing comes up, it's no different. To God, there's no different. They're all puny, right? Amen. So we're ready. We're staying in this being ready before God. Amen. So you can look at the rest of that the chapter on your own time there, right? But down at verse 30, let's go to verse 32. What more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, and Samson, and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel, and the prophets who through faith, what is faith again? Reliance upon the anointing, right? Subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourging, yes, and chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, sawn in two. Back then it was rough. And I know there's places in the world right now where there's devilish people just killing Christians, right? But how they're dying in faith, right? And don't be believing for that, because that, you know, Pastor Huck used to say, martyrdom is a gift that only operates once, right? Be believing for good things, amen? But we stand in faith with our brothers and sisters who have experienced that, and they're taking it, if that happens, in faith. And we even see the grace of God on Stephen, who died in faith. And what does it say? He fell asleep. He probably didn't feel anything. He saw Jesus just literally stepped out of his body. How did he do it? By the anointing. Amen? Glory to God. The anointing gets results. Somebody say the anointing gets results. Amen. Look at Romans 5, verses 12 through 19. We're heading around the bend here. Romans 5, 12 through 19. Praise the Lord. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world. So there you go, right? Adam, we're talking about. One act of disobedience, one unanointed man caused this whole mess, right? And death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sin, for until the law, verse 13, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, verse 14, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who had not sinned according to the likeness of the transgressors of Adam, the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense, for if by the man's offense many died, much more by the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Verse 16. And the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offense resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which comes by from many offenses resulted in justification. We're going somewhere here. Verse 17. For if by the one man's offense death reigned, through the one, much more, somebody say much more, right? Those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offense, judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man, somebody say one man, right? One man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. One anointed man. Literally opened up heaven for everybody. Changed everything. One anointed man. Now, of course, talking about Jesus, Son of God, God the Son. But still, on this earth, he operated as a man. One anointed man, one anointed woman makes all the difference. Great results. Amen. We can be the ones to turn this city around, your community around. Amen. Anywhere between where you live and this church, man, the Bible talks about whatever you can, told Abraham, north, south, east, and west. How far can you see? How far do you drive? Look at that and say, that's mine. That belongs to the anointing. That belongs to God. I'm taking this area right here in Jesus' name, right? One anointed person. Then finally, as we close here, look at Mark chapter 2. Hallelujah. Verses 18 through 22. Thank you, Jesus. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, talking to Jesus, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. I believe he was talking about 3 days. How long was he gone? 3 days. They probably didn't eat much during that time. Amen. Hallelujah. No one sews. Now, this is where we're going here. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. And this is what I felt a lot of the word was for us today as a body, is it's out with the old and in with the new. Where God is taking us as a body, individually and corporately, as a body, the old stuff ain't going to work anymore. Right? There's an increase in the anointing. There's a newness, a freshness to the anointing. And if we keep hanging on to old things, it isn't going to mix. It's not a match, right? Pull out the socks again, right? Old anointing, new anointing. Amen. They don't match anymore, right? Old things, old ways of thinking, old things that used to work yesterday. Amen. I felt like the Lord even spoke to me when I was preparing that there's people, whether here in the room or listening online later or CD, that there's people that have passed away and you're still concerned about what they may think of you today. And they're not even on the planet anymore. Affecting your decisions you make, places you go, thoughts you think. Well, that wouldn't make so-and-so happy. I think they might be mad at me. That's old stuff. We need to turn loose. Somebody say, I'm turning loose. I am free. Right? I haven't been to so-and-so's grave lately. Listen, they don't care. Amen. Grandma might still be mad at me. Listen, she ain't mad. She's in love with Jesus, right? So turn loose of the old stuff. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. There's a new anointing of God that's going to flow through us that we have to turn loose of old things to contain it. Amen. And that's where it's at right here. Amen. So let's all stand on our feet. We're just going to pray and just turn this over to the Lord. Hallelujah. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Thank you, Jesus. I just want you to take the last part of that word there and just put it before the Lord. And if there's anything that he's dealing with you about in terms of releasing old things for new things, I can think of, you know, even in my own life, of years past where ministry was just wonderful. We had wonderful years of ministry in different ministries we've been a part of. But guess what? Those things are gone. So I can't do what God's calling me to do today, thinking about, well, how would so-and-so have done this? Amen. Right? I believe the Lord would tell you that you are the key that's going to unlock the door of what I want to do. That other person that you're so concerned about, that old thing that you think is so important, that's not it. You are the key, the Lord would say, that he's going to use to unlock his plan and purpose in that situation. Glory to God. Somebody just lift your hands and say, Lord, I receive that anointing today. I release old and dead things, rotten things, old things, things of yesterday and yesteryear. We release them in Jesus' name in order to have room to receive. I see it like a garage full of old stuff. And the Lord's saying, you know what? There's a brand new Mercedes in your driveway, but there's no room in your garage. Somebody say, Lord, just take it all. Take it all. Take all the old stuff out, and I welcome in the new. I welcome in the new, Lord, in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Praise the Lord. You are dismissed. Have a blessed day, and we'll be back next week. Amen.